Welcome to this time of worship. We are First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving, and we come together to give praise to God. This is our first Sunday in Lent, February 21st, 2021. We have a couple things coming up on each Sunday that is not the first Sunday of the month. We have coffee hour at 9 a.m., education hour at 10 a.m. That includes a talkback time to talk about the themes of the worship service in the day. Our Lenten program begins at 5:30 with a virtual soup supper fellowship. At 6 o'clock, we have a Lenten service. And at 6:30, our Lenten workshops are focusing on practices for being able to open ourselves to the light of Christ and to seeing our lives differently. There are materials available that you can use either with our Zoom Lenten service program or on your own, and those can be downloaded from the website or on the email that I send out. So take a moment to offer a prayer of thanks to God for the opportunity to come together to worship, and a blessing on the space where you are gathering. And let's welcome the light of Christ into our midst as we come together to worship God.
Come and worship. God has made a covenant with all of the earth, a promise of love and healing for all who dwell on the earth. God draws us near to hear words of peace and to be blessed with hope. We come to worship and give praise to God for the gift of salvation. Let us pray. The season of Lent is here again, and as with so many times before, we find that we are not ready for this journey of discipleship. So many things claim our lives and prevent us from being ready to take the steps in faith. As we look at our barrier of readiness, help us to remember that Christ is with us every step of the way. We are not alone. Christ will help lift our hearts and spirits and direct our paths. Enable us, loving Savior, to take this journey of faith to new life with you. Amen. Now please join me in offering our prayer of confession. God of the rainbow, you made us a covenant with all creatures, promising life and hope. You have made a sign for us that you will never work against us. Yet we still fear and seek our own way. Still our fears, and remind us that you are our source for peace. Show us how we should walk. Lead us on the path to renewal and healing. We forget our connection with one another and think that we are the center of the universe. Show us again your paths of truth. Forgive us and lead us back into the arms of your love. Amen. Now please take a few moments for your own silent confession. God is merciful and full of steadfast love. God will not forget us. God will wash us clean and lead us on paths of steadfast love and faithfulness. Believe the good news. Through the grace of God and the love of Jesus Christ, you have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. We are free from our sin. Amen.
Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy.
The scripture reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you. As many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have made between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For all future generations, I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
For this first Sunday in Lent, we are looking at Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. It's Mark's version of the baptism of Jesus and the temptations gathered together. Mark puts a very different emphasis on this, focusing on Jesus' experience, where Matthew and Luke tend to bring us more of an understanding of the experience of the people around Jesus and the meaning of the baptism. Mark focuses more on this being an opening of God's love to humanity and the process that Jesus himself had to go through in terms of preparing himself to do the ministry and the mission that he was called to do. So from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 through 15, we read, "In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased.' And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.' May the Lord bless us and teach us through the gift of this word. Please join me in prayer. Holy and loving God, we come to you seeking renewal and wisdom. We need to know how to be healed of the wounds that we have carried for so long, exhausted by the burdens of fear and bitterness. We want to be able to enjoy the gifts that you have given us. Help us to be the people we long to be and rejoice in the gifts that you have provided for us. We open our hearts to your work of renewal and transformation through this time of Lent. We realize that this will require us to be willing to see things differently and at times to be challenged as we let go of what has been familiar and comfortable, although those same things at times have been toxic and meaningless. We are willing to see ourselves as your beloved children, rather than to continue to draw our identity from empty pride and puffed up self-worth. We are ready for your work of renewal to begin. As we open our hearts to your Holy Spirit, show us the light of hope and peace, which is the promise of our transformation, so that we may joyfully anticipate our own gift of Easter at the end of this journey. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. We are beginning in this season of Lent, this 40 days that has been given to us as a work of transformation, and many misunderstand how Lent can be a gift, how it is intended to be something that is really renewing in the life of each Christian's walk with God. Lent is not something that we do for God's benefit or for Jesus' benefit. Lent is given to us for our benefit. And it's given so that we might be able to take time to focus on our identity as Christians, our particular gifts to be able to make a difference in this world, our need for God's constant affirmation and love, which God gives willingly and completely. Lent really is potentially a gift. I remember talking about Lent with some young people, and one young lady, she said, "Oh, Lent is like a spa day." And I didn't understand, and she explained that she and her mother and her aunts would go on spa days periodically. And in those experiences, there would be deep tissue massage, exfoliation, whatever that entails, and other types of treatments for detoxifying the body and renewing the spirit. And she said that's what she just suddenly realized Lent was intended to be. A process which at times can be a little uncomfortable and often transformative, but it's done for our benefit. And if it's done well, and if it's done in a manner in which we're truly participating with God in the experience and in the process, it can bring us into a place of much greater comfort, serenity, security, and confidence. And so Lent is really worth paying attention in doing what God's inviting us to do. Part of the problem with Lent in the past is a great many people go into it picturing that it's some sort of a sacrifice to an angry God. That in some manner, Lent is a way of appeasing God who's just waiting to make things harder. And so if we make it harder on ourselves, then God will lighten up on us in that image. God becomes a little bit like a protection racket. It's like God saying, it'd be terrible to see something happen to that nice life you've got going there. Tell you what, give up all your chocolate and just eat fish on Fridays and I'll see if I can't make it go a little easier for you in the future. The problem is, that's not a God we want to worship. It's not a relationship we want to develop. That's a God you want to avoid. And it completely misses the nature of who God really is. We can take Lent as a getting to know each other again between us and God. A time of renewal to discover that all of that understanding of punishment and judgment, all of that expectation of condemnation, that doesn't come from God. We're bringing that up ourselves. And what God would really like to say to us is, I love you. And I want you to be joyful in everything that you do. So Lent is a period. In the early church, it was a period of preparation that especially young Christians entering into the life of the church would go through. Membership was different at that time. It wasn't considered that being a member of the church somehow entitled you to something. It was a lifelong commitment, an experience of transformation. And so for the period of Lent, penitents, people who wanted to engage God in a new and more powerful way, would wear special, simple clothing. They would make their adornment and their way of presentation so that everybody knew that they were in this Lenten practice. And the whole of the people of God would support them in their prayer, in their devotion, offer them encouragement, and create space for them to be able to do this work. And so in that same way, by coming into this time together, we're able to be a community of God's people seeking holiness and wholeness, healing and joy, seeking to be people who are guided by the power of God's own Spirit. And this is the great gift. It flows out of the passage that I read for you and of the baptism of Jesus and the way that this baptism of Jesus flowed directly into an experience of needing to go into the wilderness driven by the Holy Spirit. In the baptism of Jesus, there is violence in the language of the rending of heaven as God is fully able to embrace humanity in the person of Jesus. It's not that the heavens were parted, it was that they were shredded aside as if God was just tearing away in order to get close to the beloved. And Jesus sees the Holy Spirit descending. The grammar is in the present tense, but it's in an incomplete tense, so that what he's seeing is that the Holy Spirit is continuously descending, continuously coming upon him. And the voice of Jesus being affirmed by God says so tenderly, "You are my son, my beloved, and I am well pleased with you." Hearing God say that God is proud is what any of us would love to hear. to know that not only are we accepted, but God is joyful at the people who we were created to be. This baptism experience for Jesus was truly renewing, but it was only half of the process. Because what's very important for us to understand is that the passage goes on to say that the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. It was not that Jesus was unwilling at this point. It was that Jesus needed the solitude. He needed the time of contemplation, of examination, of listening and perceiving. And this is something that is so deep to our understanding of what our own Lenten experience is about. Jesus was in the wilderness to experience the trying, the testing by the accuser. Jesus had already heard that he is beloved by God, that God is proud of him. He needed to understand what that truly meant. And so in that time of testing and trial, Jesus' identity was coming to terms with the gift of God's blessing. And in that same way, Jesus was able to open up to an understanding of what that meant for him in his ministry and his mission. It was a necessary part of him becoming ready to be able to share this great gift of grace that he was created to share in the first place. In this way, there is this element, what we refer to sometimes as a pseudo-self versus a solid self. A pseudo-self is the perception that we put out to the world, the way in which we want people to see us, and the way in which we place as a mask in order that people would respond. It's the self that when somebody says, "How are you doing?" and we're struggling, we still say, "Great, and you?" And then there's what's referred to as solid self. Solid self is the person who we truly are, the nature that we live out of. When those two selves are too disconnected from each other, it is painful, trying, and troubling. It becomes for us a perpetual challenge to be able to figure out who we want to be and how we want to live. And in that moment when God's affirmation came down upon Jesus' solid self and said, "You are beloved. You are one in whom God takes pride. You are valued." He needed to figure that out. He needed to work that through. It wasn't a matter of having to prove himself or convince anyone. It was a matter of understanding what that really means of who he is. And this is the same practice that Lent is intended to do for us. Our pseudo-self, our public self, our perception that we want other people to have is something that we live by, but in so many ways, it's not who we really are. And periodically, we have to back up and examine that true solid self, be renewed in it, and not allow that solid self to be stained by perceptions of being faulted or failure, perceptions of judgment, because one of the unfortunate side effects of us looking down upon others, being judgmental, being full of hostility and animosity, as so much of this last year has caused us to feel, is that it stains our solid self. It makes us doubt that God really thinks that we're worth it. It causes us to feel that we are to be ashamed rather than to know the sense of God's constant love and affirmation. And so as Jesus went into the wilderness, as he was there with the wild animals, tested by Satan, and fed by the angels, his solid self aligned with what God said he was. And in that strength, and in that perception, and in that understanding, he was made ready for when the very sad thing of John the Baptist being arrested unjustly took place. Jesus was ready for the mission that had been given to him that flowed naturally out of his true, solid self. This is our challenge. We don't have to go to the wilderness. That's one of the things that the pandemic has done for us. We're in the wilderness on our own, in our own homes. We're in a place in which we're already disrupted from so many of the activities and plans, so many of the things for 10 months that we have wanted. We're in the perfect place to be able to turn this into a place where the Holy Spirit can work with us. And we don't have to go out and deal with wild animals. We can be in a place where God's love drives us into an examination of who we truly are, who our solid self really is, and to hear God speak to us and say, "You are my beloved in whom I am well pleased." And that opens the door for us to start putting things in perspective. We particularly need Lent after this 10 months of dealing with so much that has been broken and wrong in the world around us. And especially with the challenge that this creates for us of trying to reconcile God's statement of love and acceptance for us and the terrible disasters, the things that are so wrong. It creates a huge amount of dissonance for us. It causes us to be completely confused. That's reflected in Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it talks about that we are capable of understanding the questions, but not able to perceive or reconcile the answers. That God has placed an understanding of eternity in our minds, but we can't understand how to live in that knowledge, how to assimilate that point. We can't put ourselves in a perspective where it makes sense. Our perception is limited, and we begin by having to affirm that. We can't understand the crisis and the disasters from a point of view in which we don't really fully appreciate resurrection, and that death is just a passing from one nature to another. We can't entirely put into perspective the types of shifts and changes and the events that have happened because we are so limited. We want to judge as good and bad based upon how we feel without really knowing how that impacts the world or the future. In so many places, things that feel and sound as if they are tragedies turn out to be the foundation of transformations. That so many things end up moving us forward. And so in this Lenten period, in this identity clarification, in this getting to know our solid self, part of what this does is it enables us to get to know God's solid self also. We know God's pseudo-self, the pseudo-self that so many people want to give us that we know isn't true. Frequently, when there's a tsunami, when there's an earthquake, when there's a hurricane, you'll hear people will say, especially as religious televangelists, that this is some great punishment from God on whatever pet sin they want to identify, whatever thing they want to judge in other people. But that's not the way the real God works. That's not the way the solid self of God truly is. The solid self of God is loving, compassionate, full of grace and kindness. Our challenge is, as it said in Ecclesiastes, we can't make out how this loving God who's all-powerful is in relationship with us when there are things that are wrong. In a lot of respects, we see that same issue for Jesus. You know, the people around him in his first century, in that time, they had much the same problem of injustice, of oppression. They had famine. They had locusts and pestilence. They had disease and plague. They had injustice and oppression amongst themselves and by the Roman government. In all of these ways, they experienced so many things so that they saw that what God would do is send some mighty warrior that would fight their battles and correct all of those elements that were wrong. That was their pseudo-self looking at God's pseudo-self. And because they had not come to know God in that loving and compassionate way, they weren't able to enter into the complex and often confusing relationship with a God who is loving and present with us, but doesn't intervene at our command, and doesn't always do what we want done, and doesn't provide for us the answers that we want, but still loves us, and still blesses us, and still calls us. In short, they didn't understand the God that is being described in the passage from Genesis in the covenant of the rainbow. In that passage, at the end of the story of Noah and the ark and the animals that were rescued from flood, God speaks a covenant that never again will the wrath of God be poured out to cause a flood upon the earth. But there's a larger covenant than that that God is speaking. That God will not use natural disaster, that God will not act out of wrath, that God will not attempt to punish in order to correct the whole earth, but that what God would do is to use compassion and healing, blessing and power. Natural disasters still happen, but we don't always know exactly what they are. I remember many years ago hiking through a forest that had experienced a wildfire. It wasn't on the scope that wildfires have been in California more recently. But it had cleared a meadow so that there was natural plants that were coming to the surface that had not been seen in many, many years. And it was bringing a renewal to the forest that had not been. You can't always tell a disaster from a renewal because our perspective is limited. And so often to pursue our anger, our resentment, our misunderstanding of these things becomes our pseudo-self seeking God's pseudo-self rather than our true self seeking God's true self, that they become an intellectual exercise that's just left troubling and exhausting. It is just unsatisfying. Instead, what we want is to know God's voice, to hear God's love, to be in a relationship that is close enough and secure enough that we feel this trust, this understanding, this promise of gift, of grace. Lent can do that for us. It can be very powerful. Each of us has to allow the Holy Spirit to drive us to the place where we need to be and be willing to participate in what's laid before us. Each of us has to find practices, and we are suggesting some through the programming that we're doing. But it's most important that each of us finds the practice that works for breaking through all that we have lumped onto our pseudo-self and blocked out our knowledge of God, all that has stained ourselves, all that has caused us to feel alienated and broken and afraid. We're in a place in which we can use this time, where we can experience this transformation. It is truly a gift and a promise from God. And we're invited to use this as God's special opening to experiencing the voice of God coming to us, to hearing God's true love for us, and to know that God is very proud of us and wants to prepare us to be able to enjoy all of the blessings and gifts that are being held out for us. That's the gift that we are entering into together. Please pray with me. Holy and gracious God, we enter into this time of Lent and transformation very much in need of what you have promised to do for us. Free us again from the traps of our fears and our uncertainty. Show us how to be in your presence, to hear your affirmation and blessing. And let us know again that we are loved and that we have no reason to fear your voice. Let your Holy Spirit guide each of us as we need to travel on a journey of renewal and freedom. Shape us as your beloved children seeking peace, understanding, and a clarity of who it is we were created by you to be. Let this Lenten time be a gift of transformation and peace as we trust ourselves into your guidance and grace. And then draw us together with all those whom you love, so that with unity and fellowship, we may pray in the words that Christ teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and in life everlasting. Amen. Thank you for joining with us in this time of worship. We are First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving, and we're glad to be able to enjoy God's love and God's presence. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. And if you have something to say, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at revjharrison@fdlpresbyterian.org. God's blessings be with you and your family. Stay safe. We look forward to when we can be together again.